I'm Joni De Winter.
And I am Susan Grant.
And we are Bell Street,
who are an events band and production company.
And we're here to talk to you about our fun and failures
on our journey from being scared to doing it anyway.
And today we have a really fantastic guest for you. We really enjoyed talking to him.
His name is Benedict Hurley. He is an actor, choreographer, a guru, self-proclaimed guru as well. We have worked with him a couple of times and we've really enjoyed talking to him once again about his process, of his creativity in all the different things that he is doing throughout his life.
And if you're a creative who is looking for some inspiration, or if you have teenagers in your life, or if you're dealing with performing through some trauma or some grief, we cover all these topics today and he has some really great advice. And it was really great to catch up with him and hear his pearls of wisdom.
So do enjoy Benedict Hurley. And yeah, we're going to listen again, I think, to it.
Yeah, let's.
Hello.
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 And hello.
We are here. I don't know your surname.
Don't you? Ah, how unprofessional.
Oh no, I didn't do my
Joni
research.
De Winter.
Well, we are here this evening, actually, with Ben Hurley, who is here to talk to us about his exciting career and his past in the entertainment industry. And we were just saying, what would you like to be introduced as? And so we didn't really decide what you are and what you do, because you do so many things. So, Ben, take it away.
I am Benedict Hurley. I am an actor. And then I follow that up with, and I'm also a tutor, and I run a kids' theatre group, and I do lots of role play, and because I feel like I need to apologise when I say I'm an actor, because people say, well, that's not a real job. What else do you do?
I get quite a lot, like, oh, but do you do it full-time?
Mm.
Not acting, because I don't do
well,
that.
No, or, have you been in EastEnders? Yes, actually. Yes.
You have.
Back in 2022 for one scene, but I was in EastEnders.
So and yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Therefore you are an actor.
Yeah. A real one.
Yeah.
And Casualty.
Well, but Holby City were you in?
No, Casualty.
No, just Casualty.
Oh, I think
Just Casualty.
No, but I just
BBC
meant.
Primetime, thank you.
Aren't you a regular?
No, 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 no. It's principal cast.
Principal cast. Sorry, not even just a supporting actor.
No, no. I used to be. That's where I got my TV experience, really. There's this thing in the industry, and I hate it, where there's this massive disparity between the cast and supporting artists. And I'm like, well, you stop being a person on set when you become a supporting artist.
Really?
Absolutely. Mm. Well, don't say it.
Okay.
Everyone
supporting artists. No, no,
so
no.
So supporting
no, just,
artists but is what you would used to call in the old days.
With the extras, yeah. Okay. But even then, there's sometimes you can have a hierarchy between the extras as well. And I'm kind
really?
Of like, guys, you're not sat in an office. You haven't got a boss breathing down your neck. You're not chasing targets. You've got, like, it's a fun job. Don't take it so seriously. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You work. So we went to university together.
We did.
A long, long time ago. Back in 2018.
Not all three of us.
Not all three of us.
No.
Don't know her.
Who's this man on my sofa?
We went to university together. Yeah. We're theatre trained.
Yeah.
So I got my TV training, I guess, on set as a supporting artist. It's where I learned jargon. So
supporting what everything artist.
Supporting artist. But just what a mark was and about eyelines and like turning and things we never would have known. And then I got to watch actors. It's such a completely different way of acting than theatre, and everything's so minute and everything. And you'd be in the background and the third assistant director who looks after the supporting artist would come over and say, can you go on this line? And I'd be like, yeah, sure. And then the actors would start filming and they're like, and I'm just like, and he'd come over and be like, you didn't go on the line. I'm like, I can't hear anything. They're whispering. because they're mic'd and they do. Whereas on stage you project, and on TV they all talk like this and they do the most minuscule of facial expressions because the camera's there and it picks up on everything.
So you trained in theatre?
Trained in theatre.
If you were choosing, like, dream acting job, would you prefer, like, theatre acting?
I enjoy television. I love theatre. I just like the immediacy. I like having an audience there. I like... Oh, hell, I like the applause. We're egotistical, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's why we do it. I love being someone else for a bit because you can switch off, and no matter how crap your day has been, you can walk out on that stage and forget about it because you're someone else.
Yeah.
And then I love the applause. I don't care if it makes me big-headed. There's a fine line between arrogance...
Well, you're on the right sofa to say that.
There's a fine line between arrogance and confidence, and I... I'm confident in my ability.
But there is an immediate... You go out there and you have an energy with you, and you are a character, and it's and then it's over.
Yeah, but also a story. You it's, especially if you're doing a full production, musical, play, whatever, you're carrying a story through. So on set, you could be doing a scene and something goes wrong and you go cut and then you go again and... Which again, is a massive skill set. And it's a skill to be able to pick up exactly how you're feeling, convey that. I like being exposed. And you are when you're on stage. There's an audience there and you're like, I have to sell it for them so that they believe what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
If they're not feeling what I'm feeling, I'm not doing my job.
It's an energy exchange in theatre, isn't it? It sounds like a really poncy thing to say. Like, there is like a proper exchange of energy that you don't get, I imagine... Nor the TV I've been on. I've literally never been on TV. All my family have been on TV.
Have they?
Yeah. It was Tots TV and like the local news. But TV's TV, isn't it?
Tots TV as in, I'm a Dutchie Sweet and Tot. Oh, wow.
Yeah, my sister's been on that.
Was your sister Tilly, the doll?
No, she was riding a donkey. It's now forgotten the question because I'm just thinking about how annoyed I am that all my family have been on TV, not me. Hang on. No, the energy exchange.
The energy exchange. Yes.
And that is what... is fun about performing, isn't it?
And you have one shot. You have to get it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas when you are filming, you can go back. As annoying as it is, and when you laugh, you can go back.
And and it's a skill to get yourself out of something if it goes wrong on stage. Mm-hmm. And to fix that. And sometimes fix it without the audience knowing. And sometimes they absolutely know. And... then having that connection with the audience where you can joke about it and make it into something to then continue.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, do you remember when you went wrong? But it was so funny and blah, blah, blah. That's a skill. Some people have that like innate skill where they can do that. And or it is something you can learn with experience and with time. And some people really haven't got it. And something will go wrong and it throws them completely.
Yes.
I did a amateur production of Beauty and the Beast, and on our Saturday matinee production, the set collapsed. So we had these big champagne bottles for Be Our Guest, with her pyrotechnics coming out the top, and it was all singing or dancing.
What, amateur?
Yeah.
That's fun.
And someone put one of those... really big, heavy champagne bottles on the lip of... So a cloth had come in a little bit too much and there was just a little lip and just rested it against one of the flats. And when the cloth went out in Act 2, this domino effect happened from the back, and then the flats just started cascading forwards towards the audience. Mm-hmm. So I ran... as Beast in this massive, massive share wig that I had on, ran over to the front tab. And Lumiere was running around with his hands and kind
what's
of going,
gonna do?
He's going, oh no, oh no. And he was going, he ran over, he's like, should I take these off? I was like, no, you'll ruin it for the kids. And
what, not
Cogsworth was just in there going, tabs, tabs. And the guy who played Gaston, bless him, just went forward. We brought the front of house curtains in and he just chatted to the audience in character for a few minutes whilst we rebuilt the set. And then we carried on. Continued with the show. I spoke to a friend a couple of years afterwards, went, oh, shit, I just thought it was part of the show. I'm like, what, when the set collapsed? When did that happen in the film? When was that? Where was that bit? But you adapt and overcome, mm-hmm. I guess.
As well as being an actor.
I am an actor.
You do run very successful.
I do run youth theatre. Just the one group
just
now.
Just the one group, right.
Multiple over the years. Mm-hmm. So I've always taught in one capacity or another. I've taught, but the current group, and I've taught adults, but the current group I'm with, I've had for 12 years. Dom and Theatre Works, little shout out, love my kids. We predominantly look at acting, but we do a pantomime at Christmas, although we're doing a musical this Christmas, which is the first time we've ever done one. Okay. So we're doing Elf. I love it. They're teenagers, they're hard work, they're generous with what I ask of them. They're not afraid to look stupid. They are very outspoken, but I applaud that. I'm also their counsellor sometimes, which is lovely that they have a space where they can be open and honest and have someone that they feel they can trust. Yeah, I just love it. I love it. They're like, they're my kids, you know, mm-hmm. but they're not obviously my kids, because if I had 28 kids, that would cost me a lot of money. But yeah, so I've been teaching in lots of different capacities for years and years and years.
Mm. With teenagers?
Yes.
It's a really interesting age. We've talked about it recently. With the kind of sign, seems to be like you kind of split off into two ways when you're a teenager. You either have this kind of confidence that kind of like booms, or you have like a kid who has all this confidence and kind of become a teenager and kind of shrinks.
It's really tricky, isn't it? Because at kind of that like 11, 12 age, there's a, something happens.
Yeah.
And they either say, fuck it, I don't care what you think about what I do or what how I look, or it's all they care about. Mm. And there seems to be no middle ground, is there? There's no kind of like, and I think a lot of that now, it's always been a thing. You know, like I said, before smartphones and before social media and all that, there's always been that not wanting to step out of your comfort zone element. I had it into my like 20s, you know. Yeah. It was, I knew I could sing, and I thought that was enough. Mm. And then I knew I could dance, and I was like, well, that's fine, because I can sing and dance. And I was always scared of being exposed as an actor, of feeling vulnerable, of looking silly. So I get it, I do get that. And it's hard to get through to a teenager, especially, that the sillier you look, the more you just give into it, the better your performance will be. It is tricky.
Or do you think people mainly kind of quit then? You know, like how most girls like check out of PE when they're 30.
Yeah, like, they're like, no. I don't know, it's hard now with social media and stuff. I wouldn't want to be a kid now. We were lucky that what happened in school stayed in school. Mm. Whereas it can follow you home. I don't know, it's weird. It's weird. And I do feel at the minute for younger generations. God, it sounds so old. But it feels old. Because and everything's changing so fast. What is coming next? Mm. You know, and how is that landscape going to look for, well, even not even just a teenager now, but younger kids? Because these younger kids now don't know a world without iPads and iPhones and Nintendo Switches and their tablets and their homework being on Google Drive and, you know, and Seesaw and everything else. It's everything. Everything is digital. Mm. Everything is accessed online. You've got kids starting primary school with American accents because they've picked it up from YouTube, and it's like...
Yeah, especially around COVID time.
Yeah.
As well, yeah.
My kids go to the store. Mm. Like, so they'll say, I'm just going to go to the store.
Mm.
And I'm like, what do you mean? Mm. The store. They go to the store. I'm like, shop. It's a shop.
Shop.
It's a shop. Just an interesting age, isn't it? And I thought, yeah, like, it just is. doing something that's so out there at such a vulnerable age is really important. If you can create a safe space, I think you're doing really well. You must have watched some serious, like, whole transitions of you've been doing it for 12 years.
And it's, I mean, kids now are a lot more vocal.
Right.
A lot more vocal. They have a strong sense of justice, which is great. And will absolutely shout down at the kids who they believe are in the wrong. And I'm like, yeah, good, do it. Stand your ground. Like, absolutely, guys. It keeps me on my toes. Mm. But I wouldn't not do it. I wouldn't change it. I just love it. And it's so rewarding.
How many in your group?
At the moment, 28. Mm-hmm. I find you have too many, and it's mm-hmm. crowd control.
28 would be too many to me.
But they're good kids, and they sometimes listen. Yeah. You know? And when you get to see them on stage doing their thing, it's so rewarding. A lot of them probably aren't going to go on into the arts, and that's okay. Because, like you said, I've given them a safe space for a couple of years. They've built their social skills. They've built their confidence. I absolutely think kids should join groups outside of school, make friends outside of school, because school can be suffocating and claustrophobic and isolating and all those awful things. And it's good to have an escape, and it's good to go and find your tribe, I guess. And, you know, I've got a bunch of weirdos on a Saturday morning, and they're all a bit weird, and I tell them they're all weird. Well, they'd have to be weird to do the stuff we do. But
they found
it's finding people with the same kind of weird, isn't
it? Yeah.
And I think that's really, really important.
So, avid listeners of Subject Change
yes.
from Teenagers, avid listeners of our podcast, which you're not.
No.
This is all a surprise.
I found out yesterday I was doing this, by the way. So you discussed it with Joni.
Yes. I just forgot, and I hadn't communicated that with you. We knew you were coming to come and stay for a couple of days.
I'm guessing your PA just didn't
get in touch. Yeah, been crossed wires between PAs, I think. You have actually been quoted on our Magic and Tragic episode in season one.
Yeah. And just remind me what was the context of the Magic and Tragic episode. It's been so long since I listened to it.
Mainly about death and trauma.
Yes.
It was about performing through trauma.
Yes.
And that's where we'd both had lots of things going on, and go and listen to it. It's a very good episode.
Both had horrendous years, and we were thinking, who else has had to perform through trauma? And I've got my friend Ben.
Yes. Yeah. We've talked a lot about this, though. Late night phone calls and saying stuff, and it's just like, that should be on a podcast. And here we are. Here we are on a podcast. I was quoted as saying that it's an outlet. It gives you something to focus on, and also gives you the opportunity to put a mask on and escape the reality of the situation. I also said it's much easier for me to cry in character now, because I'd always struggled before that.
So performing is an outlet.
Yeah. And I said, I think I have a load of unprocessed grief. It's easier to tap into that to get the tears flowing when needed. Mm. Which is true, which I have. So I lost, what year will it be in, 2025? Mm-hmm. I lost my dad 12 years ago in May. He dropped dead of a heart attack. And I lost my mum 10 years ago in July, who died very quickly of an aneurysm. And that was what got me back into performing. So I'd gone to uni and I'd moved back home. I met someone and life took over, and I was doing amateur stuff and I was teaching a bit, and I was like, well, I've still got my outlet, you know, and I made a life for myself in Newport. And then me and my ex broke up, and then my dad passed away, and it kind of pulled the rug from under us. And getting over that, the 2 years that followed that, was just difficult. You become a parent for your parent. And my mum, like, she didn't drive, and she'd obviously heavily relied on my dad for, like, getting about and stuff. And then suddenly our schedules changed to accommodate that. Like I said, I'm the youngest of six. And we all chipped in different ways. And then when my mum passed, I don't know, I guess we were already quite down, so you don't have as far to fall. And the day I went back into work, they announced someone in my team would be going. And I just took that as an opportunity, I guess. And then people in work were like, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to be an actor. And they said, no, what are you really going to do? And I was like, I'm going to be an actor. And then as I left, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? 6 weeks after my mum died, I was in a production of Into the Woods at the time, which is an awful show. Wonderful show.
Oh, right.
Wonderful show. Awful show to grieve through.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because it's all about being left on your own.
Yeah. Yes, okay,
fair. In the woods with no one to guide you. Mm. And again, and it was that I met with the director of the show and he'd... We went for coffee. Week after my mum died. And he was like, are you still going to do the show? And I was like, haven't really thought about that at the minute. Can I bury my mum first and then we'll discuss? But I didn't want to let anyone down. And it was, again, an outlet, I guess. And it was an opportunity to wear a mask for a bit and to forget. Regardless of the context of the show and what was happening in it, I got to just switch off for a little bit. Mm. And also channel. Have moments in, you know, where my character would get upset or emotional, or and channel my grief through that. It's difficult. I'm still grieving, you know. It's been 12 years and 10 years and I'm 44 and sometimes feel like I'm 12 and I haven't got my parents to be on the other end of the phone or tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I've been the youngest of six. I've got a lot of older siblings who like to tell me what to do. but it's not the same, you know. But I was also very lucky to have the parents I had, because I know not everyone has that either. And I'm forever grateful for the life they gave me.
And for being supported in the arts as well, yeah, to a certain
yeah. point. Yeah. And you know what? They didn't want me to do it. My mum made me join a choir when I was 9. And I teenage boyed it. I was like, oh, I hate it. And I went to Switzerland and Norway and Italy and Austria and I had these amazing experiences, which I totally didn't appreciate because I was a teenage boy. I was like, oh, I gotta go to choir. Oh, I hate it. And then when I went to high school and people, teachers were like, oh, you can sing. Come and do drama, do school shows. And my mum was like, this wasn't the plan. You're not supposed to develop this skill that I forced upon you. And then when I said I wanted to do performing arts in college, it was kind of, but then what are you going to do? You can't be a doctor or a teacher if you do that. And I guess there was always a level of uncertainty from them of what does the future look like if this is the path you follow. And I've always been an advocate of follow your dreams. Do it. Absolutely do it. And when I've been teaching my kids and they're like, I want to go into the arts. I'm like, just go for it. Go run at it blindly and don't plan anything else. Just chase everything. I don't do that anymore. The industry has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. And for anyone listening who is thinking about doing this, have some backups. Have some other skills under your belt. Have some strings to your bow. There's so much focus on diversity, which is fantastic, which is absolutely amazing. There should be. It's just in a weird place at the minute where there's a very strong focus on diversity, so things will, in time, level out a bit, which they will. Being gay isn't ticking in a box anymore because everyone in the arts is gay. I'm not diverse enough.
You're just common.
I'm just common. Unless I'm in America, where I shouldn't exist. But also, how many Instagram followers you've got? How many... Yeah. If you've been on a reality show, it's, you know, and you're seeing more and more of this faddy kind of stars appear on in West End shows, and mm. And that makes it daunting because you're like, well, you know, I started my training at 9. Mm. I'm here. I am 35 years later, still learning, still training, still honing my craft. When all I need to do is go on TikTok and make a tit of myself, and then I could be Jean Valjean in Les Mis in 6 months, you know, and that's scary because you're like, that is a reality.
Mm-hmm. And you've put in so much work.
Yeah.
So much work.
Yeah.
Over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you look at it like that, you're like, am I selling myself short by not taking that opportunity by trying to be a responsible and professional and dedicated actor? Or I could just make some videos of me dance. I'm not diminishing any influences or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. I just think the landscape has completely changed.
Mm. And I think everyone in the arts is saying that, whatever kind of art place you're doing, it's all to put money behind you and to be employed. It is about how many followers you have on whatever platform and stuff. And that is crazy because it's just like... crowd led casting, which is you can understand because then there's no funding to the arts, so people need to make money and get, and it's really hard to sell tickets to things.
Yeah,
but at the other end of that, it's like if your skills aren't in social media marketing, then you're missing out on a whole generation of creatives.
I am shit at social media. Really shit at it. Because it's a self-promotion. And it's, again, like with the start of this podcast, I'm an actor, but I'm also this. And I also do these other things because I feel like I need to apologise for being an actor. So I can't then go on social media and say, I was in this and I'm amazing. So I don't. So then
maybe you should.
I know. I absolutely should.
You told us to own it earlier.
I know.
Yeah, you told us off.
I did. You missed that bit. It didn't happen. They're lying. It's hard. It's hard to blow your own trumpet, isn't it?
But this is also where you working with younger people is good. I mean, for those of you listening, we talk about where we're from, which is Shaftesbury, where we live at the moment, where we're based. And we have the Arts Centre here, which, again, we talk about a lot. And you have come along this half term to do a two-day workshop.
Obviously, you don't live in Shaftesbury.
I don't live in Shaftesbury.
Not with that accent, you don't.
I don't have an accent. I don't know what you mean.
But this is the second time you've been over into England.
I think it is down.
Down.
Yeah.
And over.
A bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Across and down.
To come and work with our youth theatre as well. And which is great because it's great for me to see you again and to work together. But two, it brings a freshness and you have got so much experience and energy. Far more than I have with.
It's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, but he had a nap.
You did have a nap.
I did.
When did you last have a nap, Susan?
I don't remember.
1992.
Yeah. Exactly. But you talked a bit about training and stuff. Earlier, when we went into university, I mean, I was always very shy. I knew I wanted to go into arts. And I knew I wanted, I very much got into dance and contemporary dance. And the course we did was a BA in performing arts, but you specialised in one
subject.
Yeah,
you majored in music, dance or drama.
So, but because I wasn't a pure dancer, I never felt that I was I wasn't in the dancing gang. But drama scared me. Yeah, I wasn't really allowed in the drama lot. And the musos, well, you know, so actually...
Was it High School Musical?
Was it that table scene in High School Musical?
Stick to the status quo, absolutely.
And the fact you said that you went in thinking, I don't know about acting. I mean, you were everyone's favourite, though. You went in, you like were friends for the third years.
I know.
Immediately.
I know.
And the second year.
And I had this conversation... with someone recently. I wasn't popular in high school and I had a taste of it in college, but college I was kind of like trying to find my feet a bit as that kind of 17, 18, I think I'm an adult, but I'm really not. And then went to uni and was popular. Mm. And I was popular.
You were popular.
Again, confidence and arrogance, fine line. But I was popular for probably the first time ever.
Yeah.
And I don't think I handled it right. I don't think I navigated it well because I didn't know how to. So yes, I was friends with everyone and people in the third year and loads of people in the second years and like loads of groups in our year.
You were the person to know.
And then when it got to like the end of the first year and people had kind of got their housing group sorted and I was just kind of like, ah, I haven't got that gang, you know? And then I moved in with, in the second year, I moved in with some third years who were lovely and I loved it and I did love it. I had a great time. And then they left uni and it was kind of like a lot of people lived with the same people in the second and third year. And there was this fear, I guess, of where do I fit again? Which I'd kind of manufactured myself by being popular, which was weird because I thought, because you watch American TV stuff as a in the 90s, which was the best era.
It was the best era for TV. Best era. Yeah.
And you see these popular kids, and like, oh my God, they got everything. And it was lonely. And I didn't realise popularity also meant you could be lonely. So it, and again, you know, as I've got older, you do realise it's not about the quantity of the people, it's the quality of the people you keep. Which is why she's still hanging around. And it is. People fall by the wayside as you go along a bit, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what the question was. But
I don't know what the question was. I was just trying to remember. I'm literally seeing you as Glinda now, so.
He pretty much was Glinda.
Were you?
Yeah, but with blue hair? No.
No, all colours. Yeah. All colours hair.
So, you're 44.
I am.
How's that feel?
No, I'm just checking. After a full day of choreography, how does that feel?
Well, I had to have a nap and take a painkiller. Yeah. So, feels great.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is, where you going? Like, what now is, like, your goal? Are you working towards anything? Are you dreaming of anything? Are you reaching for anything? And I've got kind of S Club 7 in my head.
But let's not go there.
You're welcome. It's hard because it's sometimes out of your control as well in this industry. Like it's, you can absolutely send cover letters out and you can approach agents and you can audition if things come up, but the things worth auditioning for are the things my agent puts me up for. And then you're in a mix with however many other people. And I could have brown eyes. I have got brown eyes. And they want someone with blue eyes.
Right.
You know? It's... Or I'm 5'11", but they really wanted someone 6 foot. And I'm 44. I'm bald. I have a grey beard. I'm glad you're finding humour in this.
It's just... So, it's like all of these could be advantages. You're just really selling it.
We must put a picture up because you are please do actually it. Well, very attractive.
This is filming. So I look older than my age for like castability. Like if I was 54 and looked like this, great, I get all the parts. I hope. If you're listening, anyway. So
give me a call in 10 years.
Just call me. Toss. I look...
Could you say you were 54?
No.
Could you?
Because then what happens in 10 years? Okay. And again, grand adult. I mean, there's not a line
you don't
on my face.
Look old for your
you.
Age.
I have a very strict moisturising routine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look after your skin, gents and ladies, but gents. Because if it's like, oh, no moisturising. I use serum and... Anti-eye gel and hyaluronic
anti-eye
acid.
Anti-eye gel.
No eyes. No, be gone. Eye bags. And also, I don't know if you realise this, you don't see dads on TV with no hair. Unless they're a bad guy.
I'm thinking.
Okay.
So you'll have your Phil Mitchell, you'll have your Max Branning. I mean, I'm just listing EastEnders characters. Yes. But because I was on it that one time. Yeah. But, or, like,
why
action
not?
Hero.
Let's bring that back.
Because TV tells us things. TV implants what we should imagine something is.
It's like everyone always, in London always lives in this amazing house that no one could ever afford.
Yes.
And they're both teachers.
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
And no one's face moves.
No one's face moves.
A bad guy or The Rock. I mean,
he's Or Jason Statham or Bruce Willis after Die Hard. Or if you live in London, you either live in that lovely house or in Bridget Jones's flat under the tube tunnels.
Yes.
No in between.
No.
I mean, we have nice houses.
I can't believe this snowballed dad.
You've got to be a baddie or you've got to have muscles and take on the world.
So, or you're what my casting is, which is tradesman.
Okay.
Tradesman. lawyer. Policeman.
Yeah. Okay. But none of those are dads.
No, I sometimes get seen for dad. I don't tend to get dad roles as much anymore. Whereas in my 30s, full head of hair, got a lot of dad jobs.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who can we ask about that? We need to start a petition. But that's like women saying they can't get work for, like, after they're 30. What were you saying the other day about?
Yeah. Well, late 20s to then sort of 45.
Yeah.
Yeah, mid-40s is a really strange it, because you've
mums can only be old.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's awful.
Are you small? Are you too big?
A friend of mine is tall. So, and went to Lipper years ago. And then people were like, you probably won't get cast in anything till your mid-30s, till you can play a mum.
Yeah.
It's like, are people in their 20s not tall?
Yeah, people like young people.
And this is what amazes me then with the castability of people. It's like, oh no, we have to show a broad spectrum of society.
But no,
but we're going to exclude all these people because they don't fit into the idea of what we want society to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we want it to be normal.
Yeah.
Because we want to be able to relate.
Yeah.
But we don't want it too normal.
Yeah.
No. So
because people won't actually look like you.
Yeah.
Until they're 35.
Mm.
But they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is. We're
I can't
just
think of a tall young actress now either.
No.
I can think of older young tall.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Friend,
isn't
every
it?
BBC
everything.
TV programme
everything.
For me ever.
Absolutely everything ever.
Great.
You're welcome. I would like, what's my goal? I would like to, it's weird. I still feel like a fledgling person in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like I'm like slowly working my way up. Bear in mind, there's been a pandemic and then a writer's strike and lots of hurdles. I didn't get back into this until I was 35, you mm-hmm. know, and I got back into it after doing lots of amateur shows and not having any TV experience whatsoever. So learning on set as a background artist, as a supporting artist, watching actors, watching how they do it, how not to do it sometimes, and just absorbing it and taking any opportunity that came. And I'm still learning. And 35 years later, I'm still learning. And so my advice to anyone is, just keep learning. Never think that you've peaked or that you're owed anything or that you deserve. Everyone's working hard. Everyone's chasing the same thing. Everyone wants the same thing. Make sure you have some skills behind you that are transferable. Make sure you've got revenue streams. Just keep striving for a life that makes you happy. That's the only thing. Don't be stuck in a job you don't like. That doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be the next bloody Kardashian or what's the face? Zendaya and Tom Holland. Like, it's not about the money. It's not about the celebrity. I wouldn't want to be a celebrity. I wouldn't want intrusive people trying to bloody stalk me. And
Want to be paid.
We just want to be paid doing something I love doing.
Yeah.
And for some people, that's sales. And that's wicked. And for some people, that's teaching and that's amazing, or it's being a doctor and that's amazing. Unfortunately, they weren't my calling.
No.
And that's all it is. That's my calling has led me to a life of poverty and pot noodles.
You've had your popular time.
I've been popular. Popularity. That's your autobiography. Popularity, poverty, and pot noodles. That's the name of this week's episode. Yeah. Well,
that's the name of your autobiography.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't write an autobiography. I'm too flighty. I'd get three chapters in and go, I'm bored now.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about this.
Bored of yourself.
I'm bored of myself. You wouldn't think it the amount I've talked. That's the good thing about this industry is no job lasts that long.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's always.
We feel like we've kept going so long. 6 years is not that long. But, I mean, we still love what we're doing because it's nothing. You can't stay the same.
No.
Because
you have to evolve. You have to change.
And that's why it's still exciting and fresh and you're still learning and challenging yourself. Yeah. Our kind of tagline for our podcast is just do it anyway. And so most podcasts we end at the end of the thing, we'll go, so if you're blah 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 and you're blah 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 blah, then da 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 da, and just do it anyway. And most people we interview kind of say that, like, if you thought about your younger self, what would you say? And then most people kind of say, I'd say just do it, just go for it. And you're like, get a job.
No.
What do you think about that kind of
Absolutely just do it. And I wish I could go back to being as confident as I was 22 years ago, because I thought I could take on the fucking world.
Yeah.
And I really wish that I hadn't let life beat me down a bit, which it does, and it sucks. And you start worrying about what other people think, and you start worrying about how you look and how people perceive you. And if I could go back and speak to 22-year-old Ben with his hair and his jawline and his 4-pack abs, never had a 6-pack.
A few piercings.
I'd be like, oh, just fucking do it. Just do it. And I wish I hadn't taken so long to get back into it. Because I let the fear kick in. I let the fear of, what if you're not good enough? What if people don't? The people who've said you were good are your friends who came to see you in a local theatre, and they're obviously going to tell you you're good. Mm. And it took me a while to realise that I've been doing this for a long time. If I'm not good, there's a problem and something's gone wrong somewhere. So just having an awareness of my ability has kicked in. And in any other industry, if I said to an insurance broker, I need you to do me a quote, are you good at them? And they'll go, yeah, of course I am. But if you turn around to an actor and be like, are you a good actor? Yeah, of course I am. Oh, you're really big-headed. It's different. It's weird, isn't it? Own your shit. Go for it. Mm-hmm. Have some skills.
Yeah.
Have some transferable skills.
Yeah.
Set up an Etsy shop. Do something.
Yeah. Sell. I wondered what you were going to say. Set up a Etsy shop.
Sell something online. Make it out what you will. Make some diamond paintings. Who knows? Have some transferable skills. And my dad went upstairs to get changed and drop dead. You know? We've all lost people. You'll all lose people. Not whilst I sit to this, hopefully.
We might have lost a few of our audience.
The point is, life's short. Life is really short. Just fucking do it. Just do it.
With skills.
With skills. Yeah. With some transferable skills. But just do it.
Thank you for conforming to our values.
Proper shoehorned that in at the end.
Well, no, I was interested to see if you didn't think that. Because
originally our podcast
wasn't going to be called that. And it's just kind of evolved to a lot of the people that we talk to kind of think, actually, but at the end of the day, that. But I was just thought maybe we found someone who doesn't think that.
I think what's interesting is, and a lot of people I've spoken to over, it's that thing, isn't it, where the older you get, the less you care.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to people much older and they're like, oh, I wish I'd done this. And I don't want to wish. I don't want to get to a point where I'm wishing I'd done something.
Yeah.
So if you want to go travelling, go travelling. If you want to set up your Etsy shop and sell pottery willies, do it.
Okay.
Not you.
Maybe you do. Well, thank you so much
for having me.
A long day being on our podcast.
That's okay. I only did it because she promised to make me dinner. Yeah. Oh, and because I love you both.
We really hoped you enjoyed our chat with Benedict.
Feels weird to call him Benedict.
It does. We just know him as Ben. So, but yeah, we really loved speaking to him, and we hope to work with him again at some point.
Yes. Now, if you are listening to this podcast and you're up to date with it, then we want to let you know that next week is the last week of season. I cannot believe it's the last week of season 3.
I know.
So that's so exciting. But we like to do a little question and answer session. So we did mention last week, if you wanted to send in any questions, please do. And that offer is still open over the next couple of days.
Yes. So do send them through to us and we will do our very best to answer them. Honestly.
Yes. Meanwhile, if you've got a creative project or you're going through a bit of a hard time or you are dealing with a teenager,
remember, life is short,
so just do it anyway.